Okay, Psalm 119 today, continuing our verse-by-verse study through the book of Psalms, and in particular, the longest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God. We pick it up in verse 25, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. In other words, make me alive according to your word. When your soul is cleaving to the dust, you've just about had it. There isn't much left in the tank. And it probably doesn't matter, because you probably don't want to keep living anyway, not if your soul is cleaving to the dust. But no matter how low we may be, God can lift us up. No matter how low we get, the everlasting arms of the Creator are still beneath us. That's what the Bible says. And God wants to lift us. And God will lift us if we fill our soul with His Word. And sometimes you just have to read and read and read, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening, but just keep going. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because His Word is like spiritual helium. And you pump God's helium into your soul, and you'll be saying goodbye to the dust that you've been eating. There isn't anything in this world that can do what the Bible can do for a Christian. 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. He said he declared his ways. In other words, he confessed his sadness. He told God about all of his troubles, everything that was on his mind. He talked to God. He was honest with God, and that's so important. It's important to be honest with God. And of course, he already knows what's bothering us. But for our sakes, we need to tell him. God is a good listener. And it's helpful to unload our burdens to him. You know, confession is good for the soul. But more than that, it's not a psychological trick, unloading our burdens to God. God does things in response to prayers. Sometimes he changes circumstances, sometimes he changes us, but God does work through prayers. 27. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Notice there, we cannot talk about God intelligently unless we understand the Word of God. We shouldn't talk about God unless we get our ideas from Holy Scripture, or we may end up misrepresenting him. And we have to be careful not to take the name of God in vain. You say, I don't swear, I don't cuss. Well, that's part of it. But misrepresenting God takes his name in vain as well. And that's why the writer said, teach me your words, God, and then I will talk about you. 28, my soul melteth from heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. His problems were melting his soul. Melting his soul, draining him. He was like a snowball on a hot stove. Depression. It's a destroyer. And if one doesn't find strength through the Word of God, it'll cause life to drain away until the soul is absolutely empty. 29. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. He prays that he won't lie, and that he won't be lied to either. He doesn't want any part of any deceit in any form. Remove from me. He didn't say just stop me from lying, keep me from lying, but remove from me the way of lying. I don't want anything to do with any part of it. And so many people lie as a way of life. They do. Sinful man will lie to cover up sin. They may call it exaggerating, but they will lie to be popular. They will lie to make money. And David wants no part in any of it. Nothing that a lie can do for anyone is worth going to hell to attain. The Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments I have laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. That means that he has chosen to walk in the way of truth. He has chosen to live the truth. And it's also talking about telling the truth. You know, lying, like any other sin, can become a habit. But telling the truth is still a choice. Love of self causes one to lie. Love of God causes one to tell the truth. People don't stumble into holiness or sin. They choose what they do. Verse 31. I have held fast unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Unbelievers and scoffers couldn't pry the word of God off of David's soul. There was no way. Trouble couldn't pry it off his soul. He clung to the word of God. He wasn't letting go of it. And the message is this: stick to the word. God puts it this way: buy the truth and sell it not. Don't let anyone or anything steal the word of God off your soul, or you'll be sorry. 32. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Our heart, or our soul, is the master of our body. What fills our soul will come out in our words. What fills our soul determines how we live. People will do what is in their heart, and that includes how they will use their money. Actions and spending and words will go in the direction of what is in one's heart. That's why when God grabs a hold of a person's heart and God becomes important to that person, you're going to see a change in that person's behavior. 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And I like how he asks God to teach him. He knows he can't learn the Bible unless God teaches him. And that's because the natural man doesn't understand the things of God, because the Bible says they are spiritually discerned. That's why it's so important to pray before we read the Bible. We have to pray. It's also why when an unsaved person who refuses to repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's also why they don't understand what they read in the scripture, and it's not surprising. And you know what else? The problem is not mental. The problem is spiritual. To understand the word of God, we must be connected to the God of the word. And the closer you are to God as a Christian, the more you're going to understand the word of God. The more you pray, the closer you draw to God, the more his word will make sense to you. The more he'll be able to speak to you through it. 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Notice, he wants understanding to observe the word of God. He read God's word with the view toward obeying God's word. And that goes along with what the Bible says. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Read to learn, learn to obey, otherwise it's pointless. You know, the Bible is not a textbook. And sermons are not supposed to be book reports. The Bible is the living word of the living God. It is without error, and its purpose is to impart God's mind and his strength to us so that we can live the way he wants us to live. 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. We need God to exist. We need God to continue to exist. And we need God to learn. And we need God to obey. And that's what he's talking about. And the only thing we can offer God is a willing heart. If we give him that, he will work in our lives to bring about obedience. And obedience may not come easy. You offer God a willing heart, it still doesn't mean that obedience will be easy. In fact, God may have to prune us to bring it about. He may have to cut away at things in our life that drag us down spiritually. But if we persevere, then we'll grow in holiness. 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. In other words, make me love your word more than anything else in this entire world. If we don't love the Bible more than anything else, then those other things will keep us from reading it. You know what I'm talking about. You know that this is true. If you don't love the Word of God more than anything else, those other things are going to keep you from reading it, and those other things are going to keep you from obeying it. If you don't love the Word of God, you're headed for trouble. According to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, lukewarmness toward him is the first step to apostasy. And you don't even want to take that first step. I'm talking about losing your salvation. A person doesn't lose their salvation overnight. It happens slowly. It begins when a Christian loses their love for God's word. Lack of love for the Word of God begins a downward slide that will end in eternal destruction. You lose your love for God. You lose your love for His Word. You then stop reading His Word. What happens then? You start tolerating sin. And you stop praying. And you stop going to church. And then little by little, you start to lose your faith in Jesus. And that's when it happens. You lose your salvation. You better believe it. And then you become one of the people Jesus spoke about who on judgment day will be shocked when Jesus says, depart from me into everlasting fire. And they're going to say, Lord, why am I being sent to hell? That's why. Way, way, way too many people, including professing Christians, are way too concerned about their life here on earth. It's true. There's an overemphasis on life on earth. And it's true that not loving the Bible and not living the Bible does destroy a person's life. It makes life miserable. But don't forget that it leads to eternal hell as well. Misery here is simply a warning shot that eternal misery is coming for those who fall away from Christ. I know people right now. I have known people over the last 30-some years who once walked with the Word, once walked with the Lord, who once loved the Word of God, who gave to support the Word of God, who never missed church, who never missed Bible study. I don't know how many people I know who are either on the edge of becoming apostates or perhaps they've fallen over the edge. Sometimes you can't tell. And here's the deal. They haven't even noticed. And they don't even care. And they don't notice because their willful rebellion against God's word blinds them to what's happening. Someone says, well, if I ever got to that point, I would change in a hurry. No, you would not. You would not change. Because when people get to that point, they no longer care about Jesus, and they no longer care about the Word of God, and they no longer care about their immortal soul, because they've sinned against what they know is true, to the point where they now believe a lie, and they're given over to the rebellion, and that seals their doom. 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way, make me alive in your way, is what that is saying. But notice what he says, turn my eyes away from beholding vanity. With the amount of distractions in the world today, it is very easy to get sidetracked and spend too much time doing worthless things? No one in their right mind would sit in their car for 8 hours with the engine idling. That'd be a waste of time and money, because it wouldn't be going anywhere. And God doesn't want us to put our lives in spiritual neutral. He doesn't want us to idle our spiritual engines by doing worthless things either, because that's also a big waste. 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to the fear of thee. Now, by asking God to establish his word unto him, he's saying, God, make me sure of your word. In other words, don't let me be skeptical of your word. A person cannot live by faith if they don't have faith in the word of God. You say, well, I want that faith. I want faith in the word of God. See, I've got to have it. I want to live by faith. Okay, then read the Bible, because there's no other way to get it. God says faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's how you get faith. Do you see how everything focuses on the word of God? And I'm telling you, we better believe the Bible, and we better be sure of the Bible. And if we aren't sure of the Bible, if we're not sure that it's true, then when there's a cost involved, we won't live it. And that begins that slow downward slide to perdition. Every Christian should know, and every Christian should be convinced that the Holy Bible is our only and final authority. God said this, never forget it, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. That's talking about the word of God, the written word of God. To the law and to the testimony, God says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And God himself says that his written word is the rule. It is the standard. 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. This man's worst nightmare, as one who cared about God, is that he would do something wrong and bring reproach upon himself. And even worse, bring reproach upon the God who he represented. The very idea that we could embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ by unrighteous behavior should be appalling to us, should scare us. 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The commands of God and the word of God are a burden to the ungodly, but they are the delight of the righteous. We may not always do the word of God, but if we love it and if we want to do it, that's strong evidence that we're born again, that we're saved, that we're on the way to heaven, and that we know Jesus. 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. The writer isn't kidding himself. He needs to be taught by God, because he can't understand the things of God apart from God's help. He knows that. And he's not the holiest person either, so he needs God's mercy. We're in the same boat as he is. We all need to be taught, and we all need God's mercy, because we don't always live what we are taught. 42. So shall I have the answer for him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Faith shines when one obeys God, especially when one is reproached for doing it. The willingness to hang in there with God is a powerful testimony of one who truly believes. You know, many people will sell out on their so-called convictions if there's a price to pay. So if we trust the word of God no matter what, and we obey the word of God no matter what, and as a preacher I proclaim the word of God in spite of opposition, the Holy Spirit can use that to create faith in hell-bound sinners, because that's what he uses. If God's people do not treat Jesus as if he is alive and well, and if his people do not behave like they believe the word of God is true, then they're not going to be used by Jesus to convince anyone else that those things are true either. If you don't take Jesus seriously, the people in your life that you're concerned about, spiritually speaking, they're not going to be drawn to Jesus. People aren't drawn to Jesus through lukewarm Christians. They're drawn to Jesus through Christians who behave like Christians. When a person sees that you really, really believe the Word of God, and you really believe that Jesus is the only Savior, the Holy Spirit can use that to get them to receive Jesus as well. 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. The worst nightmare for any preacher who is called by God is that he could no longer proclaim the word of God. Men who stand behind the pulpit and tell stories or try to impress people, use it as a stage of some sort, but don't have the word of God burning in their soul, they don't understand what David is talking about here. They don't have a clue. It completely goes over the head, and probably even worse, they don't care. But when you've been in the presence of God, and he has told you to shout in public what you have been told in secret, then there's no peace and there's no joy unless you are doing it. 43 and 44. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. He says, I'm going to keep your law forever and ever. That's his aim. That's his goal. He won't be satisfied with anything less than perfect obedience, and we shouldn't be either. If you don't aim your gun, you're not going to hit the target. But if you have the bullseye in your sight and you keep it there, you should hit it. And likewise, if we keep the word of God before our eyes and in our mind, we are more likely to live it. 45. And I will walk in liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Christian liberty is not freedom to sin. Christian liberty is freedom to not sin. You know that God gives his children freedom from the oppression of sin if they want it? Slavery to sin is no fun. And the horrible consequences from being enslaved to it will destroy one's life and one's soul. And God delivers us from that destruction and misery by giving us the power to do what is right, to choose what is right, and that includes seeking his precepts, which is what this psalm is all about, because that's where it begins. 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. It's okay to feel intimidated about speaking the word of God in front of those who oppose it, as long as we don't give in to that intimidation. The Lord warns that if we deny him before men, then he will deny us before his Father. 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. One reason God gave us his commandments is to help us live a halfway decent life in this sin-infected world. God's commands, if followed, will maintain a measure of sanity in this world, which is full of chaos, confusion, and evil. We actually have a chance for a fairly decent life if we and those around us live the Bible. There's a bedrock of peace for the one who obeys God's commandments, who walks in the light of God's word, because obedience will provide a decent, normal life. As much as is possible in this world that's full of sin. 48, my hands also will I lift up to thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate on thy statutes. Notice the honor that he gives to the word of God, specifically to God's commandments. He says, my hands will I also lift up to thy testimonies, or to thy commandments. He's paying honor and respect to them. He loves God's commandments. Now, it doesn't say that he always keeps them perfectly, but he loves them, and he certainly respects them. And you know what? Anyone whose heart hasn't become like flint due to constant rebellion, and anyone like that who really thinks about God's commandments will see the wisdom in them and will appreciate them. And a person may not always obey them like they should and like they want to, but they will know that obeying them is the correct thing to do.